Hello everybody, we're back with the podcast, and today, like usual, I have 30 facts, and the facts of today will be, about rockets. I'm gonna start from the first fact all the way to the 30th fact, and, let's just start now. Number one, rockets are vehicles or devices that propel themselves through space or the atmosphere by expelling exhaust gases through a nozzle. Number two, the first recorded use of rockets date back to ancient China, where gunpowder-filled tubes were used as military weapons during the 13th century. So basically, the gunpowder in those tubes, they're lit up, and then the gunpowder, they kind of explode, which gives thrust, and then those tubes will fly away. Konstantin, sorry if I pronounced this wrong because it's a Russian name. Tsiolkovsky, a Russian scientist, is often considered one of the founding fathers of modern rocketry. He developed the concept of using rocket engines for space travel in the early 20th century. Often called the father of modern rocketry, American physicist and engineer Robert H. Goddard launched the world's first liquid-fueled rocket in 1926. The reason why they say liquid-fueled rockets, because gunpowder is solid, and this is liquid, and so they made a liquid rocket in 1926. Number five. The V2 rocket, which was made by Germany during World War II, was the world's first long-range guided ballistic missile and laid the groundwork for future space exploration. It was also the first man-made object to go into space in the first place. So, yeah. Saturn V the Saturn V was used in the Apollo program and was it is the only rocket to have ever sent humans to the moon. Even until today, no other people have been sent to the moon other than the people in the Apollo program, and some of them weren't, because every program before Apollo 11 and Apollo 13, they didn't get to the moon. Also, there's this thing called escape velocity, and rockets must reach this speed so that they can break free from the Earth's gravitational pull. Escape velocity is about 25,000 or 20 miles per hour, or 40,270 kilometers per hour. Many rockets use multiple stages, with each having hits on engine and fuel tanks. As a stage is depleted, it is jettisoned to reduce the vehicle's weight. There are some space vehicles that are called a single stage to orbit space vehicles, and some countries are developing them. There is one, it's called Skylon. It uses jet engines, and then those engines turn into rocket engines. Number nine. Understanding orbital mechanics is really important for rocket design. Getting to Earth orbit involves balancing the rocket's speed and altitude so that it doesn't crash back to Earth, and so it can circle the Earth. And circle the Earth at a good altitude. Like I said before, rockets use either liquid or solid propellants. Liquid rockets allow for more precise control, while solid rockets are often simpler and more reliable. Also, if you turn on a solid rocket, you can't turn it off once it's down. That's why for the space shuttle, the boosters, they are solid rockets, because you don't need to turn them off and on. Which is why liquid is used for the actual space shuttles on engines. Number 11. The thrust to weight ratio is an important power meter in rocket design. Basically, it measures the ratio of the force generated by the rocket's engines to its weight. And if the thrust to weight ratio is positive or good, then that means it's going up. Number 12. Again, that's the Russian name. I'm sorry if I say it wrong. The Tsiolkovsky rocket equation describes the relationship between the velocity of the rocket, the effective exhaust velocity, basically the speed of the flames, you know, that plasma coming out of the rocket engines, and the initial and final masses of the rocket, like stages or if there's damage. Ion propulsion, this one is mostly used in in deep space. Ion propulsion systems use electrically charged particles or ions to generate thrust. While less powerful initially, they can be operated for long times and makes them suitable for long space missions. Number 14. The launch by the Soviet Union in 1957, the Sputnik 1 was the world's first artificial satellite, marking the beginning of the space age. Number 15. The Falcon 9 is the first rocket to have ever landed its stage vertically, and the Falcon Heavy is the first rocket to do the same with its boosters as well. Number 16. The International Space Station is a multinational space station orbiting on the Earth, and there are multiple transporting modules that go to the ISS. The Falcon 9 sent the Dragon 1 and the Dragon 2 to the ISS, so yeah. Number 17. The space shuttle, operated by NASA from 1981 to 2011, was a reusable rocket that could transport astronauts and cargo to and from space. Number 18. The Soviet Union also had their own version of the space shuttle, called the Buran, which would be powered by the Energia rocket. It never actually got into service and was only experimental. Number 19. The Delta IV Heavy is one of the most powerful rockets currently in operation, capable of lifting heavy payloads into orbit. Number 20. Developed by the European Space Agency, or ESA, Ariane 5 is a reliable heavy lift rocket used for a variety of missions. Number 21. Rockets play a crucial role in deploying the maintaining satellite constellations. Rockets play a crucial role in deploying and maintaining satellite constellations like Galileo from Europe and GPS, also known as the Global Positioning System. Number 22. Rockets are instrumental in sending exploration rovers to Mars, such as NASA's Curiosity and Perseverance. The reason why we're doing this is because we think that Mars could be suitable for life because there's polar ice caps, we just melt that enough water, so that's why we're looking at if life already exists there, maybe, actually really possible. Number 23. Launched aboard the Space Shuttle Discovery in 1990, the Hubble Space Telescope has provided stunning images and valuable scientific data, thanks to rocket technology. Number 24. Various space agencies worldwide, including NASA from USA, the ESA from Europe, Roscosmos from Russia, the CNSA from China, and the ISRO from India, use rockets for space exploration. Also, some companies that are personal or private have also sent rockets like Blue Origin from Jeff Bezos and SpaceX from Elon Musk. Number 25. Many rockets have payload fairings that protect satellites or spacecraft during launch, spinning open and falling away once the rocket reaches a certain altitude. Number 26. Rocket payload capacity varies, with smaller rockets capable of carrying a few hundred kilograms, larger ones transporting multiple tons. Number 27. Rockets are sometimes used to conduct experiments in the ionosphere, the upper layer of Earth's atmosphere, to understand its properties and interactions. Weather balloons can't go that high, and so these rockets are called sounding rockets. The V-2 was actually recovered by the USA, and it was used as a sounding rocket. Number 28. Advancements in rocket technology have paved the way for emerging fields of commercial space tourism, allowing private individuals to experience space travel. Number 29. Discarded rocket stages and defunct satellites contribute to space debris, highlighting the need for responsible space exploration practices. This is one of the benefits of that Falcon 9 and Falcon Heavy rocket, because they go back to Earth and they don't float in orbit around Earth. And finally, number 30, ongoing developments include the next generation rockets like NASA's Space Launch System, SLS, and SpaceX Starships, aiming to facilitate human exploration of the moon, Mars, and beyond. Also, future rockets are planned to become even more powerful, and the SLS and Space Starship might beat the Saturn V's most powerful rocket record, as the SLS has already been launched and it's already been proven to be capable, already worthy. Starship still is in progress, and although they've landed a normal version of the Starship, the last time they did it with a super heavy booster, it exploded, meaning that we still need to work on all this future rocket technology, but I think we'll be able to get there one day. And hope you enjoyed this episode, and I'll see you in the next one. Bye.